Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. The value of honoring parents is really critical to our society today. You know, in some cultures, when someone gets old, they actually push them out of the community to survive on their own. I can't imagine doing that. The command to honor our parents really speaks into the value we put on human life. To me, it's kind of related to issues around abortion. And we'll talk more next week on the value of human life. But today's lesson is how valuable we consider our parents. When we're young and when we're old, as Diane so well spoke. It really is a message for all ages. It isn't just for us that our kids taking care of our parents. It goes across the board to all ages. Recently, Max was here, my grandson, and he's really into sports, but he had never seen Facing the Giants. And it's really fun to show someone a film like Facing the Giants. It's a very inspirational film, very captivating film. But while I was watching it, there was a scene that captured my mind just for this Sunday as we honor our parents. The setting is, the story really is around a football coach in a town, and one of the players he witnesses in an earlier scene kind of not respecting his dad, actually just putting his dad down and not telling him. The son had seen decisions the father had made, and he really had lost all respect, and the coach witnessed that. Well, a number of days or weeks later, he has a chance to talk to him. So he does. We're going to look at that scene now.
You need a ride, Matt?
No, my dad's coming. At least he better be.
Can I ask you straight with you for a minute?
Sure.
I feel like you owe your dad more respect.
Why?
Because he's your father.
You don't know him like I know him.
I don't have to know him. You need to respect him because it's the right thing to do.
You know, Coach, my dad doesn't even like you. He thinks the school needs to find somebody else.
That's beside the point. Scripture says to honor your parents, and all you do is complain.
All he does is boss me around. He doesn't even try to understand me.
Matt, you can't judge your father by his actions and then judge yourself by your intentions. It doesn't work that way. You're not responsible for him, you're responsible for you. You honor God by honoring your authority.
You really believe in all that honoring God and follow Jesus stuff?
Yes, I do.
Well, I ain't trying to be disrespectful, but not everybody believes in that. Religion works for some people, but I'm just here because I got kicked out of Westview.
Matt, nobody's forcing anything on you. Following Jesus Christ is the decision you're going to have to make for yourself. You may not want to accept it, because it'll change your life. You'll never be the same. I do hope one day you realize how much he loves you. I'll see you tomorrow.
He thinks about it. We'll see more of that later on in the sermon, what happens after that. It's pretty exciting. One thing for sure, and we all would admit this, there is no perfect parents. At least I figured that out when I became a parent. We're humans in a fallen world, and we can learn skills and abilities to help us deal with the task of raising kids. But really, the struggle's pretty daunting if you're a parent. You're not totally in control. My parenting skills didn't come naturally, but mostly I learned from my mistakes, and I survived, and my kids survived. One thing, I was part of a Christian family growing up, and that gave me a strong base, an absolute to refer to, the Bible, God's Word, His truth. And it also gave me a desire to do what God would want me to do, especially when it came to being a good parent. I really wanted to do that. Having Christian parents, who were by no means perfect at all, but they loved me and they sought to transfer God's heart into my heart. They sought to teach me how they felt about their Lord. My mother's always been very much a caring person for all her kids. She maybe cared a little too much. She's always been a solid encourager for our whole lives. My dad was a rock. He was an absolute. He gave me the gift of faith, deep-seated inside of me. It's pretty hard to shake my faith after that. I can't say he wasn't always a little rigid. He kind of progressed through that. But he definitely loved us, and he set framework for our faith, which I appreciate to this day. It really carried me through a lot of struggles, carried me through a lot of tough days. I'm thankful for the eternal influence they instilled on me. I hope I've been able to pass that along to my kids. I hope I've been able to pass along to my grandkids. They're sure on our minds as we think about it. In the very early 80s, I suddenly and shockingly became a single parent. It was not in my plans. I had the kids full-time for a long time. It was exhausting. It was rewarding. I don't even want to tell you how educational it was. But through it all, I was blessed with good kids. The lessons I learned through that part of my life were really long-lasting. It's been very practical, the things I acquired, the lessons I learned. It really molded me who I am today. And as hard as it was, I wouldn't trade it for a second. Because of it, I'm so much closer to God. I truly am. Understanding His grace and understanding His deliverance, understanding the lessons He had for me, He allowed me to experience a lot. One thing I figured out, our culture is not very friendly to parenting as a culture. The challenges are enormous, and the influence of the culture is actually very dangerous. They tend to instill the wrong thoughts in our kids and in our lives. I have a short list here. Our culture teaches children to question their parents. To assume that their parents are out of touch and just old-fashioned, they don't understand. Our culture almost implies that marriages, you don't need perseverance. You don't need resolve in making that marriage last. They almost take it for granted. Parenting also often takes a back seat to jobs, to activities, to recreation, to a lot of things. And one thing obvious about our culture, poorly raised children tended not to care and support their families, especially in their aging years. That whole institution of marriage thing shows the family is under attack. And we really need to attack it. We need to attack the problem with God's truth, with His word, with His instructions. We need to draw very close to the lessons that God teaches us about marriage and how the family should function, how we can raise healthy kids, how we take care of aging parents. I came across some quotes on parenting. I just couldn't resist not sharing them. They just connected with me when I read them. Having children makes you no more a parent than having a piano makes you a pianist. Very true. The reason grandparents and grandchildren get along so well is that they have a common enemy. Thought that was funny. Parenthood is a lot easier to get into than out of. Most children threaten... This is from Phyllis Diller, if you remember her. Most children threaten at times to run away from home. For some, this is the only thing that keeps them going. Having one child makes you a parent. Having two makes you a referee. If you've had more than one or two kids, especially, you know that. The trouble with being a parent is that by the time you are experienced, you're out of a job. A person soon learns how little he knows when a child begins to ask questions. This is a good one. By the time I realized my parents were right, I had kids that didn't believe me. You might have heard this one by Milton Berle, if you remember him. If evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands? I can tell you my parents hated me. This is from Rodney Dangerfield. I can tell that my parents hated me. My bath toys were toasters and a radio. He gets no respect. The thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children. That's very true. Adolescence is a period of rapid change. Between the ages of 12 and 17, for example, a parent ages as much as 20 years. It is true. And we can laugh at parenting a lot, but there is indeed many, many lessons to learn, some of them easy, some of them fun, most of them very memorable. So I have three questions I want to take a look at today, three questions that deal with us as children and deal with us as parents. The first question, why should children honor their parents? Well, some would say, as you look at our passage, actually the setting for it is the Israelis have come out of Egypt and they're about to enter the promised land. And some say, well, it's just meant for them. Although I think it's a clear principle for us to consider. It's a simple one that actually Scripture teaches beyond just the Ten Commandments. If our society culture could teach healthy parenting and care for our elderly, we would not only help ourselves, we'd help everyone. So from the verse we read earlier in the commandments, it talks about living a long life. So we could say to follow the command is a promise of life. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Through Jesus Christ, we can have a full life. The prince of this world is here for one thing, to steal, to kill, to destroy. God wants a full life, a rich life for his chosen people. He wants the best for us today and for all eternity. There's a promise for a prolonged life I found interesting in Ephesians. The Apostle Paul writes, Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's interesting. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. From Exodus to Ephesians, the message is clear. Follow God's commandments and you'll be blessed. And as Paul said, this one has a promise to it. Question two. How should children honor their parents? How should they do it? The first is admiration and submission. And I have a couple of verses. Leviticus 19:3 in the Old Testament. Each of you must respect your mother and father. You must observe the Sabbath, as we talked about last week. I am the Lord your God. Luke 2, when Jesus was very young, maybe a young teenager, slightly older child. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You see, we honor our parents by not only respecting them, but obeying them too and showing our respect by our obedience. As we develop, we learn to not only honor them, but we also learn to submit to their authority and wisdom. I like how in this verse, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. But more importantly, he grew in the favor of God, but also man. It seems like when we follow the commandments of God, we do help those around us. Another way is appreciation. Kids can show respect by their appreciation they give their parents. And here's a very touching moment in John 19. You'll probably recognize it as it's a heart-rending point of the gospel. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You know the setting. Jesus was being crucified and saw his mom there. He wanted her to know. He wanted to take care of her. And so he asked one of his closest friends to essentially adopt her, to care for her, right in the midst of his suffering. That's appreciation. How about affection? It's funny, we want that when we're younger, we become a teenager, and maybe not so much. John 13:14, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." How do you spell humble? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. He was humble and he loved us. And he showed us by laying down his life for our mistakes, for our sins, our mess ups. He did that after he lived a totally pure life, as he lived a life so undeserving of what he suffered. He didn't deserve it, but he did it for us. He can't even begin to describe how much love and what that love means. How should parents earn respect? It's only fair we talk to parents too, isn't it? Well, first is to set a humble and gracious example. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, and in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those ways who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following our desires and thoughts. None of us lived perfect lives. In fact, many of us have made many decisions that are not only foolish, they're self-centered, they're sinful, and they affect our kids. No, we have plenty to be humble about for good reason. But because of God's grace, we're forgiven. Because of his grace, we are grateful if we love the Lord. And we should extend grace to our kids. We should pray for our children. How many of you parents pray for your children? I know many parents do. 1 Samuel 12:23, this is Samuel talking, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right." True loving parents look to invest in their time as they pray for their kids, as they plea for their protection. Protection from the evil one, because Satan is after him. We know that to be true. But it brings us to another point. We should teach our children. I often joke how it's a lot of work raising parents. But in truth, we need to instruct our kids in the ways of God. We need to discipline them appropriately and fairly. We need to provide for their needs and help them find wisdom and balance in their lives. We should, put simply, we should just always point everything to Christ as we teach them to his word. There's three verses I have picked out that I'll just read them quickly. They're short, that speak on this subject. Proverbs 22:6, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." 3 John 1:4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." You might remember that from our days in John's letters. Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." This is really, for a parent, an extremely important responsibility. To teach his words, not just by words, but by example. Living a consistent in a God-honoring life, walking in truth and integrity, and teaching through that walk with God. If I had to pick passages on parenting, these three would show up, especially that last one. Don't discourage your kids. Look to encourage in positive ways. A successful parent teaches their kids who Jesus Christ is in the way to salvation. They educate them in the Word. And we simply must not crush them in our passion for God, making them follow rules as much as helping them live a good life. Then a final section here, why everyone should honor our parents. Why is this command so important? Why is it that we need to honor our parents and take this to heart? God not only gives us this command, this scripture, but he also gives us reasons why we should follow, and here's six of them. The first thing, it's right. It's the right thing to do. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." We owe our parents our life, and we owe them our gratitude. Parents sacrifice a lot for their kids. We never really understand until we become parents ourselves. Number two, it pleases God. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Notice you are to obey your parents because it pleases them, but because it pleases God, it really turns it into a spiritual thing, a spiritual level we need to pursue. Number three, it teaches respect for authority. Romans 13:1 through 2 teaches us that the authorities around us have been established by God. When you rebel against your parents, you're rebelling against authority. And you are rebelling against God, the ultimate authority. Honoring parents teaches us respect for all authority. And as I was looking at this and following the news and thinking of the protest and how the loss of authority, you see it creeping into our society. You see it on TV almost every night, and it breaks my heart. And I don't want to blame the parents, but I have a feeling some of those folks are from broken homes, they're from homes that are dysfunctional, they're from homes that struggle, that never taught their kids how to appreciate authority, not by words, but by living a life that simply demands it. Number four, it places you under God's protection. Proverbs 6:20 through 23 says, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you." I love how God's word is a protection. When you feel in fear, turn to God's word. He is there for you. And finally, it brings peace and joy to your parents. Proverbs 27:11. This is what Solomon says. "Be wise, my son, and bring joy to your heart." Nothing thrills a parent more than their children acting wisely, making good decisions, living a healthy life. This fifth command, to honor our parents, should be considered really a core ingredient to society. We need it in place. We need to raise our kids well so they understand what a huge negative repercussion ignoring this wisdom is. If we honor our parents, it has tremendous benefit to our whole society, to everyone. We need to strive to help families, our own and those around us, do everything with the fear of God in mind. Let's come back to our movie clip. So the setting is that boy he talked to in the movie finds Jesus Christ. It changes his life. Sometimes finding Christ does that immediately. In this case, it had immediate impact on the kid.
So what we've done here is we've gained these four lots by moving the retention pond down here. We could try and do that through here if you want.
No, I like this. That's perfect.
Mr. Prater, there's someone here to see you.
Sarah, I'm in a meeting.
It's your son.
Would you like me to step out?
No, it's okay. Sarah, send him in. Matt, you okay?
I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't know you were in a meeting.
What is it, son?
Dad, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've been acting. I got right with God today, and I just needed to say that from now on, I respect your authority. Whatever you say goes. That's it.
Listen to the part coming up.
You know, I could come back tomorrow if that would be better for you.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry.
For what it's worth, I'd give my right arm to hear my son say that to me.
Whoa. I tell you, when a child respects mom and dad, it speaks volumes to everyone around. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let me pray. I'm going to pray for our nation, our families, and each of us as we look to carry out this command. Lord, what a sobering lesson this whole subject is. We all are children. Many of us become parents. We're all called to honor and respect our elders. I lift up our nation today. We are hurting, and one of the causes, we have not done good business with our children. Help us to not only work on our own lives, help us to work on our families for our nation's sake, for our people's sake. I lift up families who are under attack with forces, busyness, all sorts of activities pulling ourselves and our children in every which direction. Help us to be still and know God. Help us to live that principle for us. Help us to walk with integrity as individuals, walking in step with you, your precepts, your principles. Help us to honor our parents as we honor our Father in heaven. Please bless our nation, Lord, as we strive to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.